So we're going to be at Nehemiah chapter 4 this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 4. Have you ever gotten excited about something? Has there ever been something that you were passionate about? Maybe it was getting your first job or getting a new job. How many of you remember your first job? You remember your first job? If your first job was like me, it probably wasn't very glamorous. My first job was cutting grass, but let me tell you what, I might as well have been running Microsoft because I love that job. Because that whole idea of getting some money in my pocket was awesome. Or maybe you've gotten excited about the possibility of a friendship developing maybe into more than just a friendship. Or maybe it was the thought of retirement. And when you think about retirement, it just gives some excitement inside of you. We all get excited about things in our life. And when you get excited about that thing, whatever that thing is, you get passionate about it. You know, you have that friend on Facebook or social media that always posts about the same thing all the time. You know, it's like, I'm glad you go to the gym, but you don't have to post a picture every time you go to the gym. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, when you get excited about a thing, you get passionate about whatever that is. And let's be honest, we all have a thing that we're passionate about. We all have something that we're excited about. When I got my first job and I was cutting grass, I was so excited about this as a 13, 14-year-old teenager. I pushed the video games aside. Yeah, that's some excitement for a teenager to push the video games aside. I pushed the video games aside. I stopped hanging out with my friends as much because I had my first job and it was time to cut grass and make some money. I was passionate about something. In Nehemiah chapter 4, the people were passionate about a thing. They were passionate about a mission. This mission that we've been talking about is this mission to rebuild the walls. And if they were to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, their city would be restored economically. Their city would be restored as the people in their city, their military would be restored. And God's name would be advanced. And because of that, this was a very important thing to them. See, in Nehemiah, the mission produced passion. This mission produced a passion. It's like, man, we got to do this thing. We got to build these walls. And the passion produced action. Isn't it like that in all of our lives? That thing, that mission, whatever you think is important, you get passionate about it. Then the passion that you have, it produces action. That's why the first of the year, we get all these New Year's resolutions and we get excited about this thing. We get kind of passionate about it. And then there's some action that we are willing to do, at least for a little while. In the book of Nehemiah, these people had some passion. They're imagining what their city's going to look like with walls. They've heard Nehemiah talk about what can happen in their city and they're imagining it. And they've actually decided that they're going to get involved. But something comes up that can completely hinder the mission and can possibly stop it. Have you ever had a setback in life? You're at a time in your life where you were going forward, where maybe you were passionate about something, but then something else came up and just kind of knocked you back a little bit. Maybe something you weren't prepared for. What do you do when that happens? What do you do when life brings a setback your way? In Nehemiah chapter 4, there's a big setback that comes. And the way that people are going to respond to this setback is going to determine if the mission will ever be completed. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 1, the verses will be on the screen this morning. It says, But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Now Sanballat, he was governor of nearby Samaria. The idea of Jerusalem rebuilding their walls, of potentially restoring their economy, restoring their military, the idea of people that are following God being able to worship in Jerusalem sent chills down Sanballat's spine. He didn't like this. Because if Jerusalem was going to get power, he was going to lose power. He would no longer have control. He would no longer have as much position. And the idea of himself losing power, the idea of Jerusalem restoring itself, did not make Sanballat very happy. In verse number 2, he says, he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? His friends are around. His army's around. Let's picture it like this. He's in elementary school. He's on the playground. And there's a bunch of friends that are around. And he's making fun of somebody else. So here Sanballat is. All his friends are around. All his cronies. And he's making fun of what's happening over there. And he's like, they're not going to be able to do that. They're weak. They can't make enough sacrifices to actually build the wall. In fact, I don't even know if it's even possible to build the wall. And then in verse number 3, one of his buddies chimes in. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So now they're just pouring it on. You know, like this is, if a fox goes on that wall, the whole wall is going to fall down. Then we read this and we think, no big deal. You just have some criticism. It's part of life. Politicians face it all the time. We see it all the time on social media. We see it on the news. It's just part of life. This was a huge deal. Because if Sanballat and friends, if these words weren't enough, they were willing to stop the effort by force. Later on in Nehemiah chapter number 4, he gets people together. He meets with all these different governors. And he's talking to them about what's going to happen. Together, they could form an army. And not just stop the mission, but end the lives of the people that are sacrificing for the mission. You guys have heard the phrase, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never. That's right, words will never. These guys, these weren't just words. These were sticks and stones and shields and spears and swords. These guys weren't just talking. They had the force to back it up. And the completion of the mission, whether these walls would be built, was hinged on the people's reaction. This is something that could potentially derail the vision. It can derail the mission, and it never come to completion based on how the people will respond to the opposition. Verse number 4. This is Nehemiah's response. Hear, O our God, for we are despised. So check this out. Nehemiah hears this whole thing going on, and Nehemiah's response is prayer. Now, if I'm Nehemiah, my response is planning. If I just hear that a potential, that Sanballat and all his friends could potentially, that there's a chance that they can come and attack us and stop the building, I don't pray, I start planning. How many of you are planners? Any of you planners in here? Okay. How many of you, you're a planner and your spouse is not, and you drive your spouse crazy and vice versa? Okay. So here you got right here, you got Nehemiah, who, if I'm Nehemiah, I'm planning. I'm like, yo, these guys have swords, they have spears. Okay, this is what we're going to do. You need to get all the horses, they need to be, get them ready, get extra water planned out. We need to get spears, we need to get swords, because if these guys attack, we got to be ready. If you're a planner, you're like me, because I'm kind of a planner, and I'm like, I got to be ready. You know, I need to know what's happening. But Nehemiah doesn't do that. Nehemiah just prays. Nehemiah says, we're despised. Turn their reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Now Nehemiah, he's still focused on the mission. He's still praying. He's prayed. His heart is still fixed on completing this mission. But let's think about this. If the people no longer have passion for it, if the people are no longer, if they're not going to get involved anymore because of the threat, the completion of the mission's over. If Nehemiah is the only one that's like, yeah, let's keep building the wall, let's keep going forward, but the people are like, whoa, it just got serious. Like, my life could be in danger. We're taking a step back. If that happens and the people no longer get involved, it's over. The mission is not complete. The walls are not getting built. God's name is not going to be advanced to that city. This is something that could potentially hinder not just their mission, not just their little city, their walls being built, but the name of God. Verse number 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Can we read that underlined part together? Ready? The people had a mind to work. All right, let's try that again, 9 a.m. You got more in you than that. Ready? The people had a mind to work. So if I'm sitting there and I hear Sanballat and Tobiah, I'm thinking, I'm going to go and talk to Nehemiah and I'm going to make sure that we should do this mission. Verse number 6, they didn't even respond to the opposition. Their decision to continue to go forward was not based on opposition. It was based on the mission. Here, the people said, the people, they had a mind to work. In other words, this mission was so important. Sanballat and Tobiah, they can go talk trash, they can threaten us, but we are still going to be engaged in the mission that God has for us. Because God's mission for us is bigger than the opposition. They made a decision to completely go forward. I can see husbands in the midst of all this opposition grabbing their wife's hand and saying, hey, we're still going forward. Hey, we're not taking a step back. I can see people that have been laboring for years and years for God, having a heart for God, and now this wall is being built. I can see them grabbing their hammer a little bit tighter, maybe gritting their teeth and saying, you know what? We're going to still go forward for God. We're not going to put our hammers down. I can see individuals amongst the people of God saying, yep, opposition's here, but that's not going to stop me. I'm going to stay focused on the mission that God has for us. There's a group of people that comes together, people like you, and like you, and like you. They come together, and they're unified. They have community for the sake of a bigger mission that's so much bigger than any one of them. And the mission would only be accomplished. It could only be accomplished if people were involved. The walls, the name of God would not be restored unless the people of God, the God followers, would say, hey, I'm in. But if the people of God would sit on the sidelines and say, yeah, Nehemiah, that's good for you, but I'm not willing to make any sacrifices, it's over. The story of Nehemiah happened thousands of years ago. Let's talk about today. Let's talk about Calvary Baptist Church. Let's talk about January 2017. A couple weeks ago, we unveiled a new mission for our church to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. We unveiled a mission to help marriages thrive, to help families thrive, to help people be who God wants them to be. And if we don't get involved, those of you that call yourself Jesus followers, those of you that call yourself Christians, if you don't get involved, this mission never happens. This mission never is accomplished. Real families will never experience real hope. Now we're going to do a little quiz. I'm going to take it off the screen now, okay? We're going to see how well you guys have been paying attention the last couple weeks, and we're going to pick on the ladies first, okay? So ladies, on the count of three, some of you are getting nervous. Sorry, don't get nervous. I'm just trying to keep y'all awake in here, okay? On the count of three, I want you to go ahead and say the mission on the count of three. And no, I'm not going to put it. I'm not going to put it on the screen. Okay, ready, ladies? Let's try this. It might be an utter disaster, but it's okay. We're all family. We're going to have fun. Okay, ready, ladies? 1, 2, 3. Boom! That's great. A lot of you guys got it. Okay. All right. Amen. Don't let them get you. Okay. Now, some of you were cheating and you looked on the back of your service program. Okay. Yeah, that's right. I see y'all out there. Okay, guys, don't be looking. Don't be looking. Oh, I see Pete over there. Pete's cheating. Come. All right, here we go. Men, ready? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Now, the men may be a little bit deeper, but there were more ladies saying it. So, ladies, you guys get the gold star. You guys get donuts after the service. Men, you can't have them. No, I'm just kidding. But that's our mission, to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. And the only way this is going to be accomplished is if us in this room, we use our abilities and talents and resources that God has given us, and we're willing to make some sacrifices, and we're willing to take a step, and we're willing to be involved, and we're willing to be faithful. Because the only way this is going to happen, just like the work of Nehemiah, the only way it happens is if we get involved. You say, look, we're only a church of 200 people. With the 9-11 o'clock services combined, we have just around 200 people. How can this happen? Listen, there is a God that's so much bigger than anything we can see, than any inauguration that happened, than any president that we will ever have in this country. There is a God that's bigger than your circumstances and so much bigger than we can imagine. And that God is for us, and that God wants to use this church to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. And we get the opportunity to be involved in this mission. Now, last week, we broke down the first two parts, our plan, our strategy to help real families experience real hope. The first part was this. We talked about worship, and we talked about how coming together each week builds us up. Beginning in February, we're actually, I know sometimes we have it before the Sunday morning services, but beginning in February, we're going to have donut holes every Sunday morning before church. How many of you in here, you like donuts? Give me an amen if you think church is better when church has donuts. You guys can say amen. That's okay. I know. And how many of you are so thankful that calories don't count at church, you know? Calories are free. But we're going to start having donuts on Sunday mornings. We talked about worship last week. We talked about growing together and being involved in connection groups and experiencing the support of Christian friends. We're going to talk about the last two parts in the last few minutes we have together this morning. The last two parts is giving back. The third part is giving back. And we do this through ministry involvement, and we do this through our finances. Now, last week we had our first ministry orientation, and we had almost 30 ladies at our nursery orientation last week. And I was like, this is awesome. We have 30 ladies that said, I want to give back. I want to be a part of helping real families experiencing real hope in Jesus. And I'm thankful that they did it, because I don't know about you, but I'm not really a crying babies, changing diaper kind of person. How many of you are with me? Now, some of you ladies that signed up for a nursery, you're like, I'm not like that either, but I'm going to sacrifice and let real families experience real hope. But yeah, but I'm thankful that somebody's willing to do that. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, talking about Jesus, he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. As followers of Jesus, we give back through serving others, but we also give back through our finances. In Nehemiah chapter 5, he has this big feast. He invites 150 people to this feast. 150 people. And what Nehemiah does, rather than taking funds from the government, which he could have done to help with that, Nehemiah fed 150 people out of his own pocket. Can you imagine having a meal of 150 people and you feeding them out of your own pocket? And Nehemiah didn't just give up time and energy, but Nehemiah gave of his personal finances, because the mission produced passion. Nehemiah had this passion, but his passion produced action. I want to take a minute and talk about some things that we are praying for as a church that we are able to accomplish when it comes to our campus and beyond. As we follow God's plan for our finances and give to him, there will be times when God will call us to go above and beyond what we regularly give and give generously. And if you're new to church and you're new to these things, and the idea of giving money is so foreign, I'm with you. It's like, what in the giving, that's just weird. Some of you that you've been in church for a while and you're like, I wasn't raised in that. I really don't get that. We give not because we have to. We give out of a love for God. We give because in the gospel, Jesus has given so much to us. So we just give just a small percentage based on everything he's done for us. It's like with you, when you love somebody, what do? You give to them. And that's what personal finances are when it comes to our relationship with God. In March, we're going to have a vision offering, And as a church, as we're generous, we're praying that we can see these things accomplished. Now, if you're new to us this morning, I want you to know that this church is moving forward. That this church is dreaming about a better tomorrow. That this church is going forward. We're not just kind of standing idly by and saying, we'll see what happens. No, this is a church with a clear mission for the future. And we want you to be a part of what God's going to do, because we believe that God has something great for your family, for your marriage, and we want you to experience the real hope that Jesus has for you. The first thing we're praying about doing, as we've talked about, is our nursery remodel. And you can see some pictures there. We're going to expand our nursery. Last week at the 11 o'clock service, there were 10 infants and toddlers. 10. I don't know if you've gone and seen that small room over there, but 10, it's not fitting in there. We're going to be expanding our nursery, and this year we're really focusing on the nursery. The last couple years we've given a lot of time and energy to our main street, and in the near future we're going to be giving a lot more time and energy and effort to our teens, but we can only do one thing at a time, and this year we're praying about our nursery. The second thing we would like to accomplish is we would like to have some lobby updates. We want our lobby to reflect our mission. We want, when people come into our lobby, they see the reason why we are here. And as you can see in the picture there, there will be our logo on glass. There's going to be some pictures there with families on it. And we want, when people come in, they know what our church is all about. You can see another picture there of the Welcome Center. And we want that area to reflect our mission. The third thing that we're praying about doing is some of these family outreach events. We talked about these family outreach events as being a fun, casual environment. A few Sunday nights this year, we're going to have a high quality speaker come in and teach about the family. And we would like to fund those things. We're going to have some stuff for the kids during those times as well. The next thing we would like to do, as we're moving quickly, is we would like to put a new signed face. It doesn't take much to understand our sign is kind of dated out there. And what we would like to do is we would like to put a new face on our sign and put our new mission on there, our new logo on there, and let people know that Calvary is a place where real families can experience real hope. Next thing we would like to do this year is we would like to provide discounted family resources. Wow, I've heard so many incredible things about the devotionals that so many of you picked up. And we sold those for $10 as a church. We paid much more for that. But we wanted to provide that for you so we could help you. And we want to do more of that. We want to provide things for families. We want to provide you resources where maybe you would go online, it would cost you $30. We want to buy them and sell them for $10 and eat the difference. But that costs quite a bit of money when you think about the amount of people in our church. And one of the things in our vision offering we really are passionate about doing is providing your family resources to help you. The sixth thing we would like to do is we would like to have some Facebook advertising to get our name out there. Another thing we would like to do is we would like to do some billboard advertising. We've investigated about our church getting a local billboard. Right now, if you were to go on Highway 12 and head east towards Sassoon at Marina and Highway 12, that billboard is emptying, and we could possibly have that billboard. But these are some things that we are praying that God will allow us to do. And we are believing that as God's people are generous, as God's people give generously in our vision offering in March, we believe these things can happen. Now, if you have any questions about any specific item, you could talk to Adam or myself after the service, and we would be more than happy to give you some more information. But the last part of our strategy is inviting. We've talked about worship. We've talked about grow. We've talked about giving back. Our last part is inviting. In Nehemiah chapter 4, after Sanballat came and threatened the people, they had to change the way they were building the walls. I don't know about you, but I don't really like household chores in general. How many of you are like me and you don't like household chores? Yesterday, Saturday, was like we had to do laundry. We hadn't done the dishes for like 3 or 4 days. We had, you know what I mean? We had to clean up the entire house. And I'm thinking, it's only me and her. How do we have so much stinking laundry? You know what I mean? And it's like our apartment is 600 square feet. It's one bedroom. How is there so much work to do? I don't like doing household chores. Now get this. In Nehemiah chapter number 4, they had to build the wall. But now Sanballat and Tobiah, now because they've threatened them, now they got to change the way they're building the wall. So now the work of building the wall just got harder. get this, instead of just building the wall, now they got to have a sword by their side. You can read it. They got a sword by their side. So how are they doing that? Are they like building and kind of watching out the corner of their eye if the bad guys come? Or, I don't know. But they got a sword just in case somebody comes up. They also have to split duty now. So now some people are on the wall and they have people at different stations watching. What are they doing? They're adapting to the culture. They're adapting to what's happening. Why? So they can be effective. They're adapting and they're saying, this is where we are. I promise you, they don't want to have to build the wall with a sword in their side, on their side. They don't want to have people staying watch. They wish they could do it this way. But if they just focused on the wall and didn't give attention to those things, guess what wouldn't happen? The mission. So they were willing to adapt. For our church, as our outreach, as we have kind of evaluated some things with our outreach, some things in the past, we've asked ourselves, how effective has our outreach been? How effective, the outreach methods we've done, how effective are they? Like, is what we say we're doing, is it really working? When you look at the New Testament, you see Jesus personally calling individuals to share their faith. Where Jesus is saying, hey, you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, you need to share your faith. You're a Christian, it's your responsibility to go and share your faith with the people that God has put in your life. And as a church, our strategy to see new people come here, and not just that, but to see new people place their faith in Jesus, is for you to personally invite your friends. It's for you to build relationships and build friendships in your neighborhood and on your kids' soccer teams and at your workplace and the people you hang out with, to build relationships with them and invite them to church. Now, we're still going to do outreaches in the community through our small groups. And I want you to understand the purpose of the outreaches that we do through our small groups. Every small group does one outreach a semester. The purpose of those is not... If this would happen, that would be great. But the purpose is not to get people to place their faith in Jesus and come into the doors of our church. That's not the purpose. The purpose of those is to get a good name of our church in the minds of people. So when you go to invite your friends and family, they've already had a positive interaction with our church. They've already experienced love from our church. Because right now, let's just be honest, a lot of churches don't have a good name in their cities. And what we want is we want people in our city to feel love from our church and to get a good name of our church in their minds. So when you go to invite your friends and family, they've already had a positive name of our church in their minds. And we're going to be equipping you, and we're using strategic big days. Like we talked about Family Fun Sunday. We want you to use that day to invite your friends and family. We want you to use helpful practical series that we're going to do. So invite your friends and family. We want you to use these outreach events as reasons to invite your friends. We want you to use these things to invite people. Some of these things take a lot of plan and energy and effort. But we're doing these to give you some tools so you can invite your friends and family too as well. I want to show you a video. I think they have it queued up back there of what happens when somebody invite somebody to church. What is the possibility of what can happen when we invite somebody to church? I think we have that video back there.
Every year, the church is challenged for Friend Sunday to invite someone to come to church. And every time that challenge is given, I think to myself, I don't know anybody. Everybody I know attends Calvary. But one year, a few years ago, there was a little voice in my heart that said, you know Alex. And I thought, oh, I'm so nervous to invite Alex. We had just started to develop a friendship. We had just started hanging out. And I thought, if I invite her, I might scare her off. But I started to pray about it. And every time it was mentioned in church that we needed to think of someone that we could invite for Friend Sunday, her name kept popping up in my heart. So I was just praying about it. But I was really nervous. I don't know why I was nervous, but I was. One day, I just decided, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I invited her. The moment that invitation came out of my mouth, she said. What took you so long? I've been waiting for you to invite me. I've been wanting to come for quite some time, but it didn't feel like I had a right to invite myself. So she ended up coming, she ended up getting saved, and she ended up getting baptized. That one moment of nervousness that I decided to just get over ended up changing her life, and it changed her eternity. So I'm glad I did.
And Alex is a regular member of our church, attends regularly. And what happened? She just got invited. Isn't it kind of scary sometimes to invite people? But when we invite people, God can use that invitation. When it came to Nehemiah, mission produced passion. Passion produced action. This is what I really want you guys to get as we kind of wrap it up and we end this thing. Is action produced transformation. The people got excited about this mission. They got passionate about it. And then they acted on the passion. And it was the fact that they acted, that they got involved in the mission, that transformation happened in the entire city. You know that wall? It was built in 52 days. That was unheard of. It was crazy. They didn't have any cranes or they didn't have any technology. They built the wall in 52 days. They accomplished their mission. Why? Because some people got involved. Because some people said, you know what? I am going to act on this mission. I want to ask you something. The mission of the mission of helping real families experience real hope, which in turn allows us to fulfill the Great Commission, the message of Jesus. Say amen if you think that's an important mission. And the Great Commission, that's huge. Like, that's what Jesus left us on earth to do. I mean, if we aren't doing that, then we're just playing games. Here's what I want to ask you. Is that mission enough, important enough, for you to act on it? Now, I'm not asking you to sell everything you have. Go be a missionary in Africa. I'm not asking you that. But just to take a step in your faith. Maybe for you, it's just to start coming to Sunday morning service and worship faithfully every Sunday. And for you, it would be a huge step just to write on your calendar every Sunday, church. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to church every Sunday because we all know life happens. But for you to be involved, it would be huge for you every Sunday morning, church. And somebody asks you to do this, no, I can't. I have something on my calendar already. Maybe for you to get involved, it means being a part of a connection group and signing up on a connection group. And maybe you know that, man, that's what I should do, and you're kind of on the fence about it. Maybe that's how God is leading you to get involved. Maybe for some of you, it's to give back. Come to a ministry orientation. We have our choir orientation right after the service at 10 o'clock. And then at 10:30, we have an ushers and greeters orientation at 10:30. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're saying, you know what? I want to be a part. Now, by coming to an orientation, there's no commitment. It just means you want to get the information. Maybe that's what God's leading you to do, to actually serve, to help other people experience real hope. Maybe your next step to see this mission fulfilled, to see the Great Commission happen, is to invite friends and family. You know somebody that they should probably invite. And I know it's scary, and I'm with you. But maybe that is your next step. Maybe right now you're thinking about somebody to invite for Family Fun Sunday, February 12th. I don't know where you are. This is my question that I ask you. Where is God leading you? Right now, where is God leading you to get involved? Now, don't hear my voice. Where is the Holy Spirit leading you to say, I want to be involved in seeing the Great Commission fulfilled by helping real families experience real hope in Jesus? The mission will only happen as if you say, hey, I'm willing to get involved. I'm willing to do my part. You can't do my part, and I can't do your part. I can't serve in the nursery, and the nursery workers, well, they probably could come up here and speak better than me. But everybody doing their part so we can see the walls built, so we can see the mission go forward. Let's have a word of prayer together, shall we? I'm going to pray. And as God's lead, we're going to do a little bit of a different end to our service this morning. As God is working in your heart, we're going to stand in just a minute and we're going to sing a song. I have decided to follow Jesus. And as God is leading you to take your next step, whatever that is, whatever the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, We're going to stand in a minute and we're going to sing this song, I Have Decided to.